Lovely Easter song with the pictures on the wall. The picture in the background, which gradually comes into focus, is the tomb with the big stone in front. And you will eventually see a guard, Roman guard, standing there. So let's just listen and watch quietly. Thank you, Steve. Jesus Christ, every other man, priest, religion you can think of, And it's very important that we know the reasons for that. And if you've got any questions about that, don't hesitate to ask somebody and try and chat it out. Later on, there's going to be an Alpha course and coming up in May. Go along to that if you can and try and sort out some of these questions. Very, very important. He is risen. Well, we're now going to sing again, worship the God who brought Jesus into the world and raised him from the dead. He's not just any old God, not the sort of gods that the Greeks had. He is a real God. He is the one whose name is I Am, that I Am. He's the one that when scientists go back to the Big Bang and say before then there was nothing, no time, no space, God says, I Am, that I Am. He is above all powers, all things. Let's worship him as we now sing, Above All Powers. Thank you. This amazing God who created everything that we see and know about and everything we don't know about, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, he said to us, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So let's sing that. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Let's give him all the honour. Let's give him all the praise. Please be seated. Piece of paper I was looking for. You may have wondered what happened in the middle of that hymn when Audrey stopped playing. She wasn't on strike. It was a cappella. Now, we all know what a cappella means, do we? I don't know where it comes from, Greek, Latin, German, whatever. It means something's missing. Something's missing. Now, you may have noticed that something's missing with me. I know Bill thinks it's the brain, but it's actually the tooth. Well, now, a cappella, what's missing? Now, come on, kids. Children alone are allowed to answer. Okay, let's start here, yes? S is missing from the word missing. That's right. What else is missing? Anything else missing? Tiago?
Instruments?
No. Apostrophe. There we are. There's a, you go to a good school, I'm sure. Yes, what's missing? An apostrophe. That's right. After the T. What is missing? Okay, let's have the next one, please, Steve. Oh, now, then you guess where I come from. What's missing?
Plus.
Plus sign between the A's. And the eight, yes. There's a little joke about that, you know. You can say to somebody, what's correct? What is it eight and 8 and 8 is 15 or 8 and 8 are 15? And they think and they say, is it is or are? But of course it's
equal.
No? Well, it's got to 16, as you can see on the board, yes. But it's amazing how you can catch people out. What's the next one, Steve? Oh, yes, oh, my back garden. There's a beautiful apple tree. What's missing? Apples, yep. They'll come later, I hope, but at the moment, nothing. Oh, yes. Put your hands up, kids, if you like Easter eggs. You like Easter eggs? Okay, come and sit up the front here, would you, all the kids? No way. Now come just sit down, yes. Now, if I give you this Easter egg, will you share it with the others?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me give it to you there. Now, you share it out, would you, please? Just share it out. Oh, I have more joining us now. Sorry? There's what? Tell the people. Shout it out loud. What's missing? You can relax. I'll give it to you afterwards, okay? Come to me after the service, and then we'll break it up and we'll eat it. Happy? Well, that's a relief. What's the next one, Steve, please? Oh, what's missing here? Jesus, yes, he died on the cross, but he was taken down and buried in a stone, big stone hole. Yep, next one, Steve. Oh, there is the hole with a big stone outside to close the door. What's missing?
Jesus
again. He wasn't left there to rot. He was raised from the dead and is now risen. I'm going to read something to you, and you've got to be very careful. Listen hard. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive something when the Holy Spirit comes." I'll say that again. You will receive something when the Holy Spirit comes. What's missing? What's the something? Can you guess? Jesus said, you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes. What will they get? Hope, good answer. Good answer. And it's true, but it's not what he actually said. Can you think of anything else? Love, good answer, yes. Say it again. Life, yes, good answers. No? Okay, go back to your parents and see if they know. You thought you were going to get away with it. And then any child can answer. Yes, yes. Power, that's right. You will receive power, said Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, here's a question for everybody. It comes in the book of Acts, beginning of the first chapter, where Jesus said to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. The question is, which verse? Don't look it up. Which verse? Anybody? No? You could start guessing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but... No? Okay, well here, kids, listen carefully. If you can come back to me next week and say that little verse, Jesus said to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. If you can say that to me perfectly, and also the reference, Acts chapter 8 verse, and you've got to find it. Sorry, chapter 1. Hint, hint, hint. Chapter 1, verse, have a guess. Then there will be a small reward for you. Okay? That's next week. Not before. Okay, next week. Well, I mean, we all know I've got a couple of torches here. What does that torch do? Does it? I mean, press something and see what happens. Oh dear, it's not working, is it? Is it working? Try harder. Ah, success! Wave it around, let people see. There, I see, I'm not a salesman trickster, it works. There's a much better torch, I bought that later. That should give a really bright light. Are you sure? Wave it around and press it. Why does it work? Too intelligent for me, yes. There's something missing. What's missing? It's the battery. There we are, pop it in. It goes that way round. That's it. There we are, good. Stand up. Show people how bright it is. It's not meant to be flickering, it can die. I think it's meant when you're on a bike or something, isn't it? Let's press this again, otherwise we'd have people having epileptic fits. There we go. There we are. Poke it in Derek Lehman's face. Thank you. What was missing?
Battery.
The battery. No battery, no power. No Holy Spirit. No power. Very important. Jesus wants us to shine. So we're going to sing that in a minute. But before that, we're going to take up our offering. And I hope this isn't going to be something else that's missing. If you remember last week, I think we made the appeal for the island of, Vanuatu or somewhere in the Pacific, Tear Fund. And if you've got collection money for that today, please put it in. If you want to give and you haven't got the envelope, is there an envelope anywhere? Anybody know? Well, I don't know how we can arrange that. Give it separately to Don at the end or something, if you want it specifically to go to the Tear Fund. So let's take the offering now, please, Don. Thank you. Did you guess the word, Tiago? You didn't? No. Oh, she did she? Sorry? Let's just make this offering a gift to the Lord now, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us so much. Please accept what has been given today and at other times, and may it be used, we pray, wisely, helpfully, lovingly, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we were talking about shining just now, so we want Jesus to shine, so let's sing Shine, Jesus, Shine, and then after that, the youngsters will be going off for their own Accept Stepping Stones, okay?
Thank you.
Please be seated. You may have noticed an extra decoration today, apart from the ones that were up last week. There's the extra one over there, and that was put up specially because of, for what reason? Can anyone think of any good reason for putting that one up today after what we were singing earlier? Like a rose trampled underfoot. And that's why we've got that one up today. Thank you. Now the kids are leaving us, I think, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. So off you go to your Sunday schools. We'll see you later.
Let's talk to God. Father God, you are mighty, powerful, ruler of all, and we dare to come before you now because of what Jesus did. And we lift our minds and our hearts before you, and we would worship you. And Father, we first want to say sorry. Sorry for the things that we haven't done. Sorry for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have. And we just ask, Father, that you would forgive us again. Set us back on your path. Make us the people that you want us to be. Father, we pray for our country. It seems very far from a Christian country at the moment. And we pray about our election. Give us wisdom, Father, and help us to vote wisely and not to waste the freedom that we have to choose leaders. Help us to remember to pray for our leaders. And I ask that your will be done, that the party who you can use will lead our country. Have mercy on England. We don't deserve it. But I pray that the government, the next government, will lead us closer to you. And we will become a Christian country again. And we remember the countries recently that have had elections. We think of Nigeria and the violence that's happening there. And we pray, Father, that your peace might enter that nation. We pray for the Sudan, who have an election tomorrow. Father, we pray that wise leaders will go into that turbulent land. And we pray that you will protect the Tear Fund workers who are working in the camps there. They've been there since 2004, and they still find it hard to get the permissions that they need to do the work that they want to do. So we pray, Father, that an election that will a government that will listen will be voted in tomorrow. And we pray that there won't be violence and there won't be damage, more damage done in that land. We pray for our family here. We remember the people who are ill. We think especially of Noreen and Val. Father, give them your peace. You have wonderfully made us, but sometimes it all goes wrong, and it can be very hard just to keep going. I pray, Father, that it will be true that in our weakness you are strong. And I just pray that you will give the people who are ill the strength that they need and that you will be very near to them. And we remember the people who are ill in West Africa. We pray about the new cases of Ebola that are still going on. We pray for those who are bereaved. And we pray that there will be wisdom so that the disease can be controlled and stamped out. We thank you, Father, for our children. It's always good to see them. They're so full of enthusiasm and life, and they just laugh their way through church. And we thank you for the joy that they bring. Help us as a church to make it easy for them as teenagers to come close to you. We're not very good at that. We seem to lose lots of our teenagers. And you've given us these children. Show us how we need to change, what we need to do to make it so that they remain in the church and they keep a relationship with you. We pray for our students, Father, as they find out who they are, as they become the people that you want them to be. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them good influences. Take them where you would have them go. Help them to make wise decisions. And we pray for those students in Kenya, 147 who were massacred recently. They were teenagers. And Father, we just pray that you would comfort their families and that you would bring peace to that land. Show the Muslims and the Christians how they can have a peaceful relationship with each other. And I just pray that you would send protection. Thank you for all that you do. Help us to keep looking to you. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. I was reading this morning about Syria, where, as we know, there's an awful lot of problems in North Syria. And yet the Bible Society man goes out daily with Bibles to distribute to other Christians. And when he goes out, he and his family do not know whether he will come back again. So let's keep praying for people like that, as Anne has already been praying. Let's sing again. We're talking today about the Holy Spirit, this power battery within us. So, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That's encouraging. Let's stand and sing, and then over to Rob. Be seated.
From John's Gospel and chapter 16, beginning at verse 5. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So let's sing about that now. Breathe on me, breath of God.
Okay, yes. Lovely. Well, thank you for coming this morning. Especially as you saw, if you have an email, that I was going to be speaking today. So I feel greatly thrilled that you've come. It's a great privilege, and that's an overused word, but it really is, to be able to share this morning. And the subject that we have before us, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I could have read many different passages. I mean, those last few chapters of John, Jesus had an awful lot to say about the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to sort of dodge about a bit, because I mean, this subject, you want to go home today, although I know some people said they like a good hour. I'm not going to give you an hour, sorry. But we're only going to scratch the surface, I believe, of what Jesus was really talking about. But I want to start off by just sharing a few verses from Philippians. And if you don't want to dodge about, just listen, and I'll read the passages to you. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, what does Paul say? Not that I've already obtained everything, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that's really, I believe, where we need to start. Have we come, as our lives, are we pressing on to what all that God has got for us? Or have we thought, well, I've got what I've got, that's fine, I'll just sit around and eventually, you know, my insurance policy's paid up, and I'll go to heaven one day when I die. I hope that's not how you're feeling. I hope you've come in this morning longing to meet with the Lord Jesus, longing to have a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, longing to experience fellowship like you've never experienced before with people you are going to spend eternity with, although we may only see each other once a week or twice a week. Eternity's looming up when we're going to be with each other all the time. Are we pressing on? Paul was really encouraging these folks. Look, we haven't arrived. There's so much more. And there was a song written a few years ago, I think, Lord, there must be more than this. And a lot of people said, that was a terrible thing to sing. More than this? We've got the Lord Jesus. What more is there? Well, have you got all of Jesus in your life? I haven't in mine. And the more I've looked at this subject, the more I realise just I've got so far to go. But that shouldn't put us off. But it's the starting point to realise there is more that God wants to share with us. And that's why Jesus made such a big deal about saying about the Holy Spirit, because he knew there was so much that he wanted to give with us. And Jesus was telling his own disciples, if I stay here, I'm limiting straight away, because I can only be here where you are. If I go to be with the Father, I can be everywhere by the Holy Spirit with all people. So assuming that we want to be, I mean, I haven't asked you to raise your hand, but assuming we want more of Jesus, assuming we want to go on with him, then how are we going to do it? Well, I believe the only way we'll do it is as we truly embrace all that Jesus said, all that Jesus promised about the Holy Spirit. And I find this very challenging and impacting on my life. But there's so much we could say, but in the time we've got, I just want to pick out three sort of aspects for us to consider. And I hope at the end of this morning, not only will be encouraged in our faith, but also we'll be reaching out for more from the Lord Jesus. The first aspect really about the Holy Spirit, I believe, is that it's because of the Holy Spirit that the world is convinced or becomes convicted of sin. That's why we became Christians, because the Holy Spirit revealed to us that we needed a Saviour. He's the source of all truth. And when our lives stand up to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, that's when we got to that point, we made a decision. I pray you all did make that decision. And as Mark has already said, if you haven't, please don't leave, well, without making that decision, or at least talking to someone about it. The fact that you've come here this morning, I think you must be wanting more of God. Second aspect is when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and becomes part of us, what is the evidence, the fruit of the Spirit? And we can look at that in a moment too, what the evidence of the fruit and the change in the way we live our lives, the way our behaviour changes. And then the third aspect is, as Jesus makes very clear, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not just something that we add on. It actually has a vital impact in how we live our lives, in the power that the Holy Spirit brings. Like the battery, without the torch is a waste of time. Now, I didn't know at the time, but the Holy Spirit really got into my life and revealed to me that I needed Jesus. I didn't think I needed Jesus. In the first place, I was English, So that covered me. So I went to church, so I was doubly covered. I was asked to read the lesson occasionally, so I was totally in heaven. There was no, and what else do you need? That's what I grew up thinking. All I needed was to be English, to go to church, and maybe read the lesson. And that's all you need. And I remember arguing the point with someone about that. Church? You don't really need to go to church that often. Read a Bible? Well, you don't really need to read the Bible that much. As long as you read it at least once a week, then I'm sure that's good enough to make you a Christian. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me that actually there's a whole lot more, that I needed a Saviour. And it was, I believe the Scripture makes it very clear, the prompting of that Spirit is where I believe everyone has the potential of being prompted. Everyone out there who's not in here or just doing anything, nothing to do with God today, has the potential to be nudged. But they put up barriers. And I put up a barrier for many, many years as regards what I didn't want to go into those areas of my life that aren't maybe as they should be. That's irrelevant. No, I can deal with that. And little by little, the Spirit prompted and nudged me until one day I said to a friend, well, how can one man dying on a cross save the world? Or what has that got to do with me? And then he explained. And I realized that I needed a Saviour. I was a sinner. If I died in my sleep that night, I wasn't going to go to heaven, even though I was English and went to church once a week and read the Bible once a week. That wasn't enough. I needed to know the Lord Jesus. And I believe that evangelistic thrust, we need to have that in mind, that the Holy Spirit, I believe, is longing to break into people's lives. And all the things that we do as individuals in a church, we need to be making that easier for the Spirit to break in. All our activities, all our conversations. If everything we're doing is urging the person towards actually looking and hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, then I believe we're doing a great job as evangelists. I think we can so get locked into someone standing at the front and speaking out the truth of the gospel, and that's it. No, I believe we've all got a part to play in the way we live, the way we can rub shoulders with people, gradually wearing down the barrier so the Holy Spirit can actually get through, the voice of the Holy Spirit can speak to that person. So when the Holy Spirit has then come in and we begin to bear fruit, and it's something that you think, oh, we've all read about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We all know about that. And then when you look at it again, it's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then the big one, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Well, yeah, that's quite a list, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit. But that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit living within us. And this is where I think fellowship is so important, because we can encourage one another. We can learn to forbear with one another. You know, some people are a greater help to having to be forbearing than others, aren't they? Do you find that? They sometimes really help you to be more patient than other people. No, maybe not. Well, I find that some people, I really have to work hard at being patient. And I guess they have to work hard at being patient with me. But as it's the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit will do this. We can't do it ourselves. Those famous words that Paul said, put on love. You can't manufacture it yourself. You can't make yourself loving. You can't make yourself patient. It won't work because it runs out. We've all tried it, haven't we? And get so angry and so exasperated. But if the Holy Spirit is given free rein in our lives, then I believe we will become more loving, more joyous, more patient, more peaceful, more self-control. And people will notice it. They will see the difference. And what does Paul also say in Romans 12? Daily be transformed. This is a daily process. Romans 12, that happens. It's not just a once and for all, that's it, I'm now transformed. Daily we have to come and he will transform us. Do we start our day saying, Lord, by your Spirit, anoint us afresh today. I don't know who I'm going to meet, I don't know what it is I'm going to have to do, but I want to be you to people. We often read about Moses coming down the mountain and how he shone because he'd been in the presence of God. And people were frightened of it, and he had to, because it gradually faded away until he went to see God again on the mountain. So he had to wear a cloth, a veil over his face. They couldn't bear it. And then the fading, that was even worse. We're not in that dispensation anymore. For us, if we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we are radiant. We should dazzle people. Have you ever met someone and you think, there's something about that person? And then you find out later it's because they know Jesus. We should all be having an impact on the people we meet every day. I'm sure we are. But there's more. That people will be so challenged by our serenity, our peacefulness, our joy, our patience, our self-control, that they just won't be able to help themselves but say, well, why are you like that? Why didn't you do that? Why don't you do this? What is it that makes you the way you are? And what greater question could we be asked? Because then we can tell them it's the Lord Jesus. Jesus also makes it very clear that he will teach and remind you in John. He will guide you into all truth. Well, we want to be taught. And all the things that you've heard in all these sermons that you've heard in the past, which you think I've forgotten, the Holy Spirit will remind you of those important things he said. So that when you're given an opportunity to say something, we will know what to say. Because he reminds us what to say. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus also said he will clothe you with power. Power to witness. That's a little bit different, isn't it? Power. Power can be a scary thing. Power can be a wonderful thing. Like we found, without the power in the torch, it's useless. Without the power in us, well, we're not useless, but I don't think we're all that God wants for us. See, this is an offer that Jesus has made. Jesus himself. Now, I know the apostles and Paul, all of them, they all make mention of it too, but Jesus said it. And in my book, if Jesus said it, it's difficult to argue with it. You can argue away all the other things with the apostles, but I find Jesus is you can't. Because if you once discount one thing that Jesus said, well, I might throw the lot out then. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and would clothe us with power. That's you and me. And this offer is for all of us. Joel in the Old Testament makes reference. Peter repeats it, doesn't he, on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, he particularly emphasizes again, Acts 2 verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off." That's all those who haven't yet met Jesus. "For all whom the Lord our God will call." So that covers everybody. It's available for all of us. And I don't know about you, but I struggle at times. I'm thrilled that the Holy Spirit reveals where I go wrong and I can get my life sorted out from time to time, morning by morning, hour by hour some days. And he comes to live within us and we begin to bear fruit and life just takes on a whole joyous way. But then he talks about the power, and that's sometimes a bit of a struggle. And yet it's quite clear here that in the package of salvation that is on offer today, this is part of the package. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit is as much a part of it as all the other parts. We recently, it was just before Christmas, our DVD player packed up, and we thought, well, let's buy ourselves a joint Christmas present. We'll get a new player, a new recorder, so we can record all these different programs. And we went along to the shop, and there was all these dozens and dozens of things. And we said, well, we just want something to record, you see, because we've got the player parts to work, but we can't record anything. He said, well, you can buy this, and he showed us this, but then, of course, you'll need this. And he said, why don't you just get the whole thing all together? And we thought, well, do we really need it? He said, well, yes, we've got this. And he showed us a large range of that record things, and you can view films. And then he said, this does... And then he went on to say, it also does this, and it'll do this with your computer, and it'll do this when you're out and about. You can ring it up, and it will set the machine going. And I thought, wow, this is just amazing. I said, oh, do we really need all this? And I said, well, we don't think we do at the moment, but, you know, it was a better deal to have everything than to buy all the bits that we thought was just enough. So that's what we got. Now, we haven't used it all yet. I can't imagine whether I personally will ever use all of it yet. But it's there, and then we've got the whole deal. And although that's a very bad example, I believe so much is like this with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're a bit frightened of bits. Like, I'm a bit frightened of pressing some buttons because we might lose everything, or it might break. But no, it won't break by pressing a button. And you won't lose anything, really. But we can be a bit anxious and a bit nervous about it. And yet, I know with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can so easily be like that. Well, I'm not too sure about it, Lord. But if you're offering it, am I really going to say, actually, Jesus, it's a bad deal? I don't really need that. You know, because you needed it. I mean, that's fine, Jesus. You needed the Holy Spirit, and we read that, you know, you even came down in bodily form like a dove. But I don't need it. You know, that, of course we wouldn't say that, would we? I think we do in a way, because we're not sure about what it might mean. See, Paul says in Corinthians quite clearly, I do not want you to be ignorant about these things. So I guess they were ignorant, otherwise he wouldn't have said it. And I think that covers a lot of us, because we don't know everything in here. We don't fully understand all things. But the great thing about it, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, it is for the benefit of all. It's for the benefit of all. Okay, so it's beneficial to have the Holy Spirit and to have his power in our lives. It's beneficial for all of us. Not just for me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. And I think that's often a problem that we've come across with the power of the Holy Spirit. It seems to be centered on individuals. But it's very clear when you read this, it's all about us as the body of Christ. And Paul goes to great lengths to try and explain things, because this is obviously a problem, it seems, in the Corinthian church. People were bigging it up, big time. They were making celebrity status of themselves. And that's not what it's about. This is for all of you. One body, many parts. All different parts, but all important. And the other thing that Paul makes very clear, I don't know if you've ever read 1 Corinthians 12 and then 13. Oh yeah, we've read 13 and then 14. Well, I think I really believe that, because he goes through in the in 1 Corinthians 12 many lists, the list there of the gift of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then straight into 13. But if we don't do it in love, if we don't use those gifts from a motivation of love, then we're just like a sounding gong. We're just a noise. We're just a pain. If you use them with love for one another, then they're incredibly powerful. And I think so often we take Corinthians 13 out as if it's just about marriage. It's just about loving each other. I believe it's in the context of living together as the body of Christ, and we are part of the body of Christ, that God wants us to have love for another. So these different manifestations of the power of God are a loving thing, are a beautiful thing that will enrich our lives. Otherwise, why would Jesus want to give them to us? And that's another issue, of course. It is a gift. It's given to us, and we sometimes struggle with gifts, especially a gift like this. See, the other thing about these gifts, unlike other things, we can argue, well, this is totally supernatural. It doesn't matter. You can pretend to be nice and patient and kind. You can work at it, and you can do that quite well as human. Our natural abilities can help us, but these things Paul's talking about that Jesus is saying, I want to give to you, and the disciples demonstrated it on the day of Pentecost, didn't they? It was supernatural. It wasn't natural. It wasn't what they could do of their own volition. It was supernatural. And we sometimes get worried about that because I can't control it. And yet Jesus makes it quite clear, yes, you are the one who opens your mouth and you speak. You are in control. You're not out of control, because you're doing it for the benefit of all, because you love one another. When those things disappear, that's when I believe the problem so often comes. I've got a... like a visual aid. And then if you forget what I said, you might remember the visual aid. And I suppose, have any of you got anything like this? Yeah, lots of men putting their hands up, nodding. I'm sure you ladies have got them as well, haven't you? Good old... Do you know, I like this one. It's a really nice toolkit. And I don't know about yours, but this one's got all sorts of amazing things in here. Some I'm not quite sure what I do with it. I was given this, and I've added a few things to it. And this, I believe, is so much what Jesus is trying to say to us about the gifts of the Spirit. It's like we've been given, on the day I met Jesus, he gave me that toolbox. Not a month later, not a year later, not 10 years later. On the day I met him, the Holy Spirit came into my life, he gave me that box of tools. Now, when he gave them to me, I didn't really know what to do with any of them. Maybe a tape measure is about the only thing I could manage, because I'd used a ruler at school. But the rest, whoa, I can't handle. But let us not forget, he gave them all to us. Each one of us, if we've received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's given us this toolkit. We've all got one. Now, there's some tools in here I use quite a lot. Like screwdrivers, or maybe hammers, you know, we're using them. But I've got one in here. I mean, look at this. This is absolutely brand new. I've never used that. I got it, but I've never ever used it. But it's there, because there might come a day when I've got a nut that needs opening that's that big, and I can go to the toolkit and I'll get this out and I'll be able to turn the nut. No pun intended. But you see, you might think, well, why? I don't want that. What I want to spout, I'm never going to use that. I'm never going to have anything big enough to use that, so I don't want it. Why? You just don't know when you might need this. And that, I believe, is what Jesus would say to us. He's given us all these gifts for us to use when he asks us to use them. But we've got to believe we've got them to start with. Because if we don't believe we've got a toolkit, if we don't believe that, then we're never going to use them, are we? I feel so challenged by this, because there's been times when I've known that God's given me the jobs to do with some of the tools in my spiritual toolbox. And yet the thing is, I could tell you what God... I could give you some examples of things that God helped me to use some of those tools. But some of them are years ago. Some of them, those tools, they got so rusty. My tools in my spiritual toolbox, some of them are so dirty and rusty because they haven't been out the box for years. And I feel, that's so wrong. Someone gives you a gift. They died on a cross so you could have that. He suffered all that pain and so that we could have all these things. And yet we settle for less. And then wonder why we have so many, many problems. I believe not only personally in our own lives, and we haven't got time this morning to go through all the different gifts of the Spirit. And I mean, this list isn't conclusive. There's a lot more that apart from what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. But I believe it can make such an impact on our lives personally and corporately. Most of the discussions ever come out when you mention gifts of the Spirit. Oh, speaking in tongues. People are always falling over and speaking. I can't cope with it. I can't handle that. And yet it's interesting, in the very list of things, that's the very bottom of the list. And there's obviously got a problem with people bigging it up, sounding off and making a big show. And Paul says, look, I can speak in more tongues than all of you put together. So just give it a rest, will you? There's so many important gifts that you're not using that will benefit the body of Christ, that will reach out to the world that's going to hell. Are you doing anything about it? Are you using those gifts? A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, can not only encourage us, but can also make a tremendous impact on people outside of the kingdom. I remember being once at a meeting, and I was with a particular guy. Some of you may or may not have heard of him. He's no longer with us. He's with Jesus now, called Richard Hubbard. And he was he who actually got me playing the drums all those years ago. And we were at a meeting once, and he said, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to really minister to you folks today. And I'm just going to pass the microphone around the band, because I'm sure that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is going to give each member of the band a word of knowledge about someone in the meeting. And we said, oh, is he? And so Rich handed the phone around, the microphone around, and God spoke in a most amazing way. And I had this vivid word about this particular lady, who I described the lady. She had hair, I can see her now, hair this length. She had dark rimmed glasses, and she had trouble with her sight, but she won't face up to the fact that there's something wrong with her eyes. But God wants to heal her tonight. Whoa. And you said, why did I say that? Oh, maybe I'm, you know, and everyone had something, and the others had different things, and different people came forward, but no one came. So, oh, well, maybe I just imagined it. Maybe I had too much tea, you know, cheese or something upset me. So at the end of the meeting, I was starting to pack up my my drum kit, because that's the trouble when you're a drummer. You have so much kit to pack up at the end if you're moving from one place to another. And this couple came up to me, and I looked up, and the lady was this very lady who I'd seen. I hadn't seen her before. She said, I thought you were maybe talking about me, she said, but I don't believe it could possibly be me. So thank you, good night. And she walked out the door. So sad that she was being prompted by the Holy Spirit, but she was afraid of what God might do in her life. Other times there's been opportunities where in a meeting like this, we can just be worshipping together and God will speak to us to encourage us. But are we open to these things? Are we open to the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge? Maybe people here who are sick and need a touch from the Lord. I hurt my back very, very seriously once. Mary was away, so I was at home with the children. I was out in the garden being the macho, because, you know, I'm a gardener, I'm out there all day, and suddenly my back went and I was sprawled out on the floor. The children came running in such a state, oh, Daddy, what's going to happen? I said, and I managed to finally crawl into the house. And, I then eventually managed to sit up. And anyway, that evening was really bad. Mary came home and I was in a real state. Kind of a back trouble. I'm a landscape gardener. We had our own business. I can't not go to work. In fact, this was the time actually when I was with at Ashburnham. So I needed to make made well. And in the church where we used to go, they used to pray at the end of the meeting for anyone who had anything. You know, if I'm just feeling sad and I need a prayer, I need encouraging, or if I was sick or whatever. But they always used to do it at the end of the meeting. So I managed to get to church on the Sunday morning, and I remember struggling in, and I thought, well, I've got to wait till the end, because they don't pray for people till the end. I mean, we think how stupid. But that's, you know, we get our little liturgy, our way of doing things. And I sat down, and finally at the end, the pastor said, anyone need prayer for anything? And there was a rush to the front. I thought, goodness me, I'm not going to get there. There's all these people wanting prayer for all sorts of things. And anyway, I finally got there, and they just said, all we can do is do what Jesus said. We can't make you better, but we laid our hand, put my hand on my back, and just prayed the Lord Jesus would just take away the pain. Instantly. And I went down and picked up a book off the floor straight away as a demonstration of what God had done. Now, I have hurt my back since then. So, you know, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he did die again. I don't believe Lazarus is still around, you know, 2,000 years old. But for that moment, the power of God was manifest in his life, and the people were amazed and drawn to Jesus. And I believe when we do these things, when these things happen, it draws people in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about bigging it up yourself. It's not about making a show. It's about encouraging people that God is a God of power who wants to work in your life and in my life. I'll stop soon, but I'll stop now, in fact. But I just feel so passionate that in my life, I want more of God. I want more of his power. And I pray that it would be your desire too, that not to be settled with what we have. Because Jesus said, when you will receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You'll be my witnesses in Godston, in Oxford, in Surrey, in Kent, and beyond. That's where we're living. We're not living in Jerusalem today. We're living here. And I've found in the limited research I've done into church history and with my own family connection with the Welsh Revival, it's when God's people decide they want God to take charge, things happen. Amazing, supernatural things happen that upsets all the norm, upsets all the plans, upsets all the things we've been doing forever, because God does things his way. And people's lives are changed and blessed. And that's my prayer, that we will embrace what Jesus himself promised and offered to us. The power of God will work in our lives, and we will see our congregation, our community, our whole lives will be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, to set us free from the sin and the death that is going to be our result. And yet, Lord, we also thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that as you promised, the Holy Spirit has come. And Holy Spirit, we want you to fill our lives, to take us on, Lord, further than we've ever been before. Help us, Lord, to take hold of your hand, to walk forward together and to see you move in power, to change our lives and to change the communities where we live. In your name, Jesus.
Well, there's a challenge for us, isn't there? Let's just pray that we don't go away and come back next Sunday and think, who's preaching today? Today we've had no pastor to lead us. Therefore, we are all family. So if you feel you have a need, why don't you just turn to your friend and say, look, I've got this problem. Would you pray for me? Or if you want to stay behind and pray with Rod or myself even, why don't you do that? Let's just quietly sing just one chorus. It's Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. We'll sing it through just once, and then we'll have a pause, and then I'll just close in prayer. And we can remain, I don't know, I think we'll stand for it. Just probably a good little exercise. Just the once. Our deep need of you, and pray that your Spirit will fall upon us, showing us things, doing things in us that we need. And above all, may we look back on this day and say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And so now we seek your blessing, the blessing of the Father, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, to go with us now and forever. Amen. So please just take seriously what I said. Pray for each other, but at the same time, there is coffee through there. Share your problems, share your difficulties, and you don't have to get down on your knees and put your hands together to pray. Just a hand on a person's shoulder and Lord bless this person with his or her, whatever it is a prayer. And if anything, what a thing to say. But what does happen, come and tell us next week. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Rod, and thank you, Audrey, hiding away behind the piano, and then giving us a cappella. Make us hear ourselves sing. Thank you so much for coming. Over to you.